Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The White House took another step in the Ukraine crisis. It's been weeks since the last high-level talks and responses to Vladimir Putin's apparent support of Russian nationalists in Ukraine. The Obama administration ran out of patience over Putin's failure to take action and resolve border questions in eastern Ukraine. These may be the toughest round of sanctions against Russia, targeting a series of large banks and energy and defense firms, coupled with some lesser but significant moves from Brussels to block loans for new projects in Russia by Europeans. Joining us now to explain the impact is Kimberly Martin, professor of political science at Barnard College at Columbia University. Kimberly, how much pressure do these sanctions put on Putin?
I think these are pretty significant sanctions, and I think the major area that they are going to hit is U.S. companies who might be considering future investments in Russia. So, for example, this will have a restrictive effect on ExxonMobil's ability to continue to invest in Arctic oil development alongside Rosneft. The sanctions are very carefully crafted so that they don't harm immediate U.S. interests and so that nobody can't meet payroll or immediately has to go into default, but it really means that future investment is not going to be possible.
So how do you answer the argument from Putin and Putin's people who will no doubt be saying, oh, ha, 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 those Americans, they're trying to hurt us, but they're just cutting their own nose off here?
Well, my understanding is that the administration worked pretty closely with the big companies that are most affected by this in the United States. And of course, they're going to, I mean, you can't have sanctions without having it affect some economic interests. But what this ends up meaning is that, you know, Exxon, in considering its future investment strategies, is most likely not going to be as interested in the Russian Arctic as it might otherwise have been. I think that this was significant, and I think it's going to have a big impact, especially because the Russian oil development industry relies so heavily on Western technology.
Kimberly Martin, what was the short-term expectation of the administration on Putin complying with a ceasefire or reducing tensions in the Ukraine? And has he used recent headlines from the Middle East as sort of cover to do nothing, in your view?
Well, I don't think anybody had very great expectations for what Putin was going to do next. I think we've learned that he's not very trustworthy, that he says he's going to do things that he doesn't follow through on. What I think is most significant here is that the Europeans are starting to realize as well that Putin is not trustworthy and that this the whole ceasefire deal is not quite as good a deal as people were thinking that it might be. The real question that remains open is whether the French company that is responsible for the Mistral, the big military industrial sale to Russia, is going to change its mind and look for alternatives.
Everybody remembers, at least who is a World Cup fan, the shot of Angela Merkel coming into the World Cup stadium and shortly followed by, they weren't together, of course, Vladimir Putin also in attendance. A lot of smiles around at the World Cup. Is there a breaking point for Germany as far as sanctions are concerned? And does Putin know there's a card that he still has to play here in terms of pressuring Europe?
Well, it seems to be that Angela Merkel is actually leading the European effort to try to impose more sanctions. She's been very disappointed at what Putin has done, and the latest evidence is that they may try to cut off European Bank for Reconstruction and Development financial loans to Russia in the future, which would be a significant hit on Russia. So I think the message that seems to be coming from the West in general is that people are disappointed in Putin, and that if he continues along this line, it's going to continue to have costs, primarily because he really is violating international legal norms that the Soviet Union signed on to at the end of the Cold War that said that the borders in Europe would not be changed. He is unilaterally attempting to change the borders and gain Russian influence in Russian territory in a way that's just unacceptable to the rest of the Western community.
Kimberly Martin, the Anne Whitney Olin Professor of Political Science at Barnard College, Columbia University. Thanks as always.
Thank you, John.
Dina from New York City, the media, including your station, is so biased against Israel. I call my friends in Israel now, and I get the truth from them who are living in shelters. So please don't tell me that the Arabs living on the land in Israel want peace. They don't. They're terrorists. It's all about money. and it's absolutely disgusting, and they're using their own people as human shields.
You react to our conversation on Israel and Gaza. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE.